love our Lord and Savior Jesus. I want to dismiss the children for Kids Corner. I want to encourage the rest of you to open your Bibles to the book of Job, or for some who are newer in their faith, to the book of Job, spelled the same way, okay? Please open your Bibles to the book of Job. We're going to kind of, chapter 42 we're going to focus on, but we're going to look at different parts of the book as well. So we'll be going back and forth as we look at this very precious passage of Scripture this morning. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you just for the opportunity to worship you. We thank you for the new song that we sang this morning, Lord. How appropriate it is for even this passage today that we're going to look at. Lord, I would ask and pray that for us today here in this place, that you would help us, Lord, to have a fresh encounter with you. I believe, Lord, as we come into your presence, as we listen to your word, as we think about everything that is said in your word, that, Lord, you desire to work in our hearts and lives. We thank you for your word because it is precious. From it, Lord, we can learn about life, but more importantly, we can learn about you, and we can grow in our relationship with you. And so I pray today, as we look into your word, that we might encounter you, and that you might be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you have ever felt like you've suffered undeservedly. Has anybody ever felt that way? Or you've gone through some experience you should not have had to go through. Maybe an illness, or through a great loss, or a broken relationship. Have you ever felt like God doesn't care about you? Or that he doesn't hear your prayers? Have you ever felt unjustly treated by God? Have you ever become angry with God over your circumstances, the circumstances of your life? Have you ever yelled at God? Given him a good piece of your mind? Telling him that you're sick and tired of it all? You ever lost hope in God? Oh, I forgot. That's right. This is a Christian gathering. And we are church people. And these kinds of things never happen to us, do they? Well, I'm here to tell you that I've felt all of these things. And I find myself in pretty good company this morning. There is a man in the Bible who felt all of these things and more. His name is Job. And today we want to learn from his encounter with God, an encounter that will help us when we feel that God doesn't care or that he has abandoned us. He'll help us to understand better what it means to have an encounter with him. In Job chapter 40, if you turn there, I'm going to look at the first five verses, Job 40 verses 1 to 5. In those verses, the Lord said to Job, "Do you still want to argue with the Almighty? You are God's critic. But do you have the answers?" And then Job replied to the Lord, "I'm nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will put my hand over my mouth in silence. I have said too much already. I have nothing more to say." In order to understand what prompted Job to pray the way he did at the end of his story, we need to grasp what God had said at the beginning. First of all, did you know that in Job's day, He was considered the very best person on earth. That's right. He was number one, not by popular opinion or the vote of his peers, but by God himself, who knows everything about everyone. You aware of that this morning, that God knows everything about you? Everything. He knows everything about us. There is not one aspect of our life, no matter who we are, what we're going through, what we're experiencing, that God does not know about. So, where do you think you rank this morning in God's eyes? Amongst the world's billions. I think there's 7 billion people somewhere around there in the world today. Where do you think you rank? Anybody want to take a guess? Well, in Job's day, he was number one. Job chapter 1 gives us a quick view of a dialogue that took place between God and Satan that significantly affected Job's life. Beginning in verse 6, we read, "One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, the accuser, came with them. 'Where have you come from?' the Lord asked Satan. And Satan answered the Lord, 'I've been going back and forth across the earth, watching everything that's been going on.' And the Lord asked Satan, 'Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and will have nothing to do with evil.' Satan replied to the Lord, 'Yes, Job fears God, but not without good reason. You've always protected him and his home and his property from harm. You have made him prosperous in everything he does. I mean, look at how rich he is. But take away everything that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right, you may test him.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Do whatever you want with everything you possess, with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically.' And so Satan left the Lord's presence." Well, the remainder of chapter 1 tells us how Satan destroys all of Job's possessions, which are many because he is a wealthy man. Even more devastating than this was the loss of his 10 children. 10 kids, 7 sons, 3 daughters. Their lives were taken. As you move into chapter 2, Satan again meets with God and he challenges him to allow him this time to touch Job physically. And God gives him permission to do so. He just cannot take his life. And so in chapter 2, Satan takes his health. And throughout the next 35 chapters, Job loses his companionship with his wife, the understanding of his friends. He loses his hope and his perspective on God's justice. He goes from an upright man who defends God's actions to a defeated man who accuses God of injustice. Have you ever been where Job found himself? He's in a dark place. He's an angry, angry man. He doubts God's love. He doubts whether God is just in allowing all these things to happen to him. He questions God. It could be that even in the midst of his pain, he even questioned whether there is a God or not. Well, today I would like us to settle a problem. A problem that I think we face in this world today. And the problem is this. Is it possible to bring a person such as Job, one that has experienced all that he has in life, is it possible for such a man or such a woman or such a person to come back to God? Is that possible? Remember, he has experienced extreme pain and loss. Remember, he feels separated from God. Remember that he's an angry man that doubts God's love for him. This is a man without hope. Can he or anyone like him come back to faith in God? Well, the solution to the problem is found in two experiences that Job has at the conclusion of his story. And the first experience was God speaking to Job at his lowest point. God speaking to Job at the lowest point in his life. He speaks to Job in a way that he had never experienced before. I'm not going to go there, but in chapters 38 and 39, God asks Job over 60 questions. And each question reveals to Job who God is, and that he is nothing as a man in comparison to God. At the beginning of chapter 40, which I read just a little earlier, Job faces his moment of truth. The Almighty roars, "Let him who accuses God answer him." And in some of our minds, we might think this is a moment to give God a piece of our mind, to tell him what we really think about him. But when the holy presence of Almighty God, when one is in his holy presence, the only response is that which Job speaks. He says, "I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will put my hand over my mouth in silence. I have said too much already. I have nothing more to say." As we read that and see that in the text, something life-changing is happening in Job's heart and mind as God confronted him. Job had nothing more to say. He was silent. And I guess, maybe unfortunately for Job, God had a lot more to say. The Almighty continued with a shower of questions and revelations that communicated to Job the greatness, the splendor, the majesty, and the power of Almighty God. And when God was finished, everything looked different to Job. For he saw God as God, and he could not contain the words that welled up in his heart. And so we read in Job 42, verses 1 to 6, Job's response to the Lord. It says, "Then Job replied to the Lord, 'I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I did not understand, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I had heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance.'" Job had an encounter with God. And in effect, he says, "When I heard God speak, when I listened to his words, my life was changed, because he finally saw things as they actually are and not as he supposed them to be. He saw God as sovereign." Listening to God is a life-changing experience. Let me ask you this. Are you taking time to hear his voice? Are you taking time to hear the voice of God? The way we hear the voice of God is we read his word, and he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit as we read the word. And if we're not hearing the voice of God, then it means we're probably not in the word as we should be. We're not seeking after the Lord as we should be. Are you taking time to hear His voice? Or are you accusing Him and questioning His methods because life isn't working out the way you think it should? Do you know more than God? When we hear God's voice, a response is demanded. And this response was Job's second life-changing experience. And that was that Job was humble. He responded in humility. He humbled himself. In the midst of the first few tragedies that we read about in Job chapter 1, Job spoke as a righteous man. Even after he lost everything, even after he lost his own family, he spoke as a righteous man. He was in control of his emotions. But after he lost his health, and his wife, who told him to curse God, and he was falsely accused by his friends, he spoke as one defending his character. When Job lost everything he held near and dear, and his situation daily became more and more hopeless, he spoke as one who felt he had the right to question and judge God's decisions and actions in his life. However, when God revealed himself, Job had no other recourse. He had no other recourse than to respond as one who was humbled and awestruck before the powerful truth that only Almighty God can reveal to us. When the very best person on the face of the earth really saw God, he cried out, "I had heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. And I take back everything I said. And I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance." The most righteous man on earth had given many, many, if you've read the book of Job, if you haven't, I encourage you to read through it, because he gives many remarkable defense speeches throughout his trials. But when he saw God, he had to confess, "I was talking about things I did not understand, things far too wonderful for me." Have you ever been there? Trying to tell God how to do his job and justifying yourself as you've done it? Job had questioned God's plan for his life. But when the Almighty questioned him, Job had to admit, "I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you." Such statements of truth from a man who had been humbled in the face of a holy God prepared Job to get beyond his own pain, prepared him to get beyond his own difficult circumstances in life. This experience prepared him to eventually be blessed by God. But even before that took place, the experience prepared him to be an intercessor for his friends, to be an intercessor for those who found fault with him, for those who accused him of sin, and for those who heaped burning coals of blame on Job. And so in chapter 42, verse 8, God said to his friends, "My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve." This is a lesson for us who are critical about another Christian in some way. "I will not treat you as you deserve, for you have not been right in what you said about me, as my servant Job was." Nothing changes our life like going through a time of suffering And then having God confront us with the truth about Him and the truth about us. Oftentimes God uses suffering so that we will see ourselves as we really are, and that is as He sees us. And sometimes the way God sees us is not real pleasant, is it? God uses suffering so that we will see Him. Because the only possible way to endure suffering and to come out whole on the other end is to see God as God. And to see ourselves as finite human beings. Holy, almighty God confronted Job at the lowest point of his life. I don't think Job could have gotten any lower. And in the midst of his darkness, in the midst of his despair, God came to Job, and Job saw God as He really is. He received a clear picture of the one on whom he was casting blame for his circumstances. And in an instant, when he allowed God to speak, when he allowed his eyes to see, Job was changed. His encounter with God was life-changing. Is Almighty God allowing circumstances into your life to cause pain, frustration, anger, grief, fear, or hopelessness? Are you in a dark place this morning? Be honest with yourself and with God. Are you in a dark place this morning? It's possible that you're in that dark place because you've put yourself there. And God has allowed you to put yourself there. It's all right to express your feelings, your disappointments. It's all right to express your questions, to ask God questions. He permits us to ask Him why. He is patient when we are angry with Him. He hears our complaints. My counsel is that we must not remain there. We must allow God to bring His work to completion. We must give Him the opportunity to speak to us and to confront us with the truth about ourselves and the truth about Him. And this was key to Job being able to come back into a strong relationship with God. He needed to gain a proper perspective on things. He needed to see God's perspective on his life. In other words, there had to be a time and a place where Job shut his mouth, when he stopped defending himself in pride and remained silent before a holy God, unable to do anything but listen. Have you noticed, if you've been a Christian very long, you probably have, that God has different ways of putting us into a listening mode? Sometimes He will put us in a place like Job, where we exhaust all our complaints and defenses, where we are unable to control our circumstances, where He strips us bare, so that all we can do is listen. Have you ever been there? I have. It's a difficult place. Find yourself. And yet in the end, you come out much stronger in your walk with God. Blessed because He has allowed you to go through the fire. And through it all, He's been there with you. And He has shown you His mercy and in His grace. At other times, as we cooperate with God in the midst of these circumstances, and I've been here as well, we're able to sit at His feet as we open His Word and He reveals to us who we are and who He is and what needs to change in our lives. In fact, this is to be our daily experience with Him. Unfortunately, other stuff distracts us, and so after a while, God must get our attention like He did with Job. But we're to be in His Word every single day. His Word should be number one priority. We should be before the Lord, looking to Him, listening to Him, hearing what He has to say to us. It's critical for our lives. When was the last time you had an encounter with God that was life-changing? It could have been this morning as you pulled open your Bible and you read His Word and God spoke to your heart. We can see here that even though one might have an unbelievable relationship with God as Job did and be a wonderful person in His eyes, such encounters come. They're even necessary in our lives. When was the last time you were silenced in God's presence, where all you could do was listen? When was the last time you were awestruck and humbled by the person of God? That's an important question for us as believers to ask ourselves. If you're in a dark place today, please be honest with yourself. Don't put on the fake smile. But if you're in a dark place today, whether God put you in that place or you put yourself there, are you ready to listen to God? Are you ready to hear His voice? Are you ready to humble yourself so that you can hear what He has to say to you? Or are you going to resist the Holy Spirit's working in your life? Are you going to stay away from the Word of God because you choose to do so? God is ready to speak to you face to face. But have you come to the end of yourself so that you are ready to listen and respond appropriately to His Word? Let's bow in prayer before the Lord. This morning, if you're in a dark place, I'm going to ask just if the worship team would come. And before we sing our closing song, I'm going to ask them just to play quietly. And if you're in a dark place this morning and you need prayer, because God has spoken to you, I want to give you that opportunity to come. I'm going to ask you to stand, everybody to stand right now. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to ask the worship team to play. And if God has spoken to you this morning, and you need prayer, and you need His guidance, and you're in a dark place like Job was, and God spoke to your heart this morning, let's respond to Him. Lord, we thank You for Job, the book of Job, because, Lord, through it we learn much about You. We learn of Your deep love for us. We learn of Your patience. I think of, Lord, the fact that you listened to 35, 36 chapters of Job's complaints. And yet, Lord, You love him. You loved him and You came to him and You spoke some pretty tough stuff to him. But Lord, he was open. He wanted to hear what You had to say. And I love his words. I put my hand over my mouth. I've said too much already. Sometimes, Lord, we speak and we say all the stuff that we say in prayer or wherever to our friends, or we put it online, social media, when we need to put our hand over our mouth. We need to go to Your Word We need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Lord, we just ask that you would do that this morning. I know we don't have this time, Lord, very often. Lord, I feel led by your Spirit. I just pray that if there's someone here today who needs prayer, that they would come and receive what you have for them. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.